Okay, good morning. We'll start the second session here to get going this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy in chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And, you know, hopefully it wasn't like an information overload in that first session because we covered a lot of ground in what we did there. But I would hope most of that foundationally you already have in you. So it should be like foundation and building, right? So hopefully it wasn't an overload though. So sometimes, you know, I do forget that not everybody's at the same place and you have to be careful with what you're doing. But anyway, if you have questions, feel free to ask them and we'll try to get you help wherever you need help. And if I have a question, and I do have many from time to time, I do the same thing. I seek out the answer here and by talking to other men. So there's nothing wrong with that. So don't be ashamed to do it. So this morning we want to talk about something that is somewhat controversial amongst people. But the reason I'm doing it is this has been a question that, you know, we're getting a lot of questions. You know, people wanting to know certain things. Was Paul the first in the body of Christ? Meaning, was he the first saved and put there? And then, you know, to be honest with you, there are people who find a verse in the Bible who says something that it looks to be different. And I struggled with that very verse when I first came to this. I was kind of in my mind, I was settled on 1 Timothy 1:15 to 16. Okay, that's what it says. That's what it means. And then reading one day, I see a verse that says something that looks to be different. And it kind of made me go pause for a second and like, wait a minute, that doesn't say the same thing. And, of course, right division does what? It clears up the smoke, doesn't it? So let us pray, and then we'll go into this teaching. And I'll try not to keep you very long here. You can get out and get your lunch and all that and do what you got to do this evening. All right? Father, we're so grateful for this, another day of life, another day of your grace and long-suffering. We're so thankful for all that you have done for us in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day for our justification. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory that it's by his grace, it's by his faith, and it's not of works, lest any of us should boast. We give you that praise. We give you that honor and glory. And everyone did say, amen. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the verses look pretty clear. And like I say, you can go into another part of the Bible and read and see a verse that seems to contradict the statement, and then people believe it's contradictory, or they just want to dismiss Paul, right? And so we know that religion does that. Religion don't like Paul. Start talking to them, and they're going to be quick to tell you how they don't like Paul. And let me tell you what I've heard one say one time. I was quoting Paul. He said, but yes, but over there in the Gospels in red, it says this. I said, man, you can't do the Bible that way. It's all the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You can't look over here in Paul's letters and say that's not God speaking and go run back over Matthew and say that is God speaking. This is all God's Word. From the very first to the very last, it's all God's Word. It's all inspired of God. Right? But when God wrote it, he didn't write it directly to all men about all men. He at summary times, right? He spake unto the prophets and so forth and so on. And to Israel he spoke by his son. And today he has spoken and given to us, the body of Christ, our information through the pen of Paul the apostle. And when you say that, it just makes people lose it, man. They can't stand it. They can't stand the notion that we've got a man in the Bible writing something that might tear up what grandma believed. You're going to have to side with either God and his word or grandma. And that's hard sometimes, man. I get it in the natural. I do. I do look back and say, that's tough. Dear old sainted whoever. They were sincere. But in a lot of cases, they were sincerely wrong. We have to live with that, man. It's not about man. It's not about traditions. It's about the Word of God. So let's see what Paul has to say about this whole thing right here, and we're going to run down some scriptures and look at them. In chapter 1, starting at verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Who would be a righteous man? Those in Christ who have had Christ imputed righteousness, right? So who's the law not for? It's not for those who in Christ would imputed righteousness. But he tells you who it is for. But for the lawless and disobedience, and for the ungodly, and for sinners, and for unholy and profane, and for murderers, and fathers of murderers, and mothers, and manslayers, whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars and perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. According to the glorious gospel of blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So there's some things that we need to look at that we're going to break those couple verses down there, 15 and 16, and then we're going to go forward. So Paul says there in verse 15, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he says, of whom I am chief. All right. So that word chief is Willie and I were talking about. It's a principal person, particularly sometimes of a tribe, right? It's also a higher office. It's an office of rank. We can see that. Hold your place in 1 Timothy. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Keep in mind the word chief. And so what we'll do, we'll put it on the board. The word chief, and go back to Luke, and when you get to Luke, look at chapter 11. Now this is only to get the point made here. Because at the end of all things, what we want to show is either Paul, when he says, in him first, meaning that he was the first one to receive God's exceeding abundant grace without anything that Paul could do to be saved, or he was not. And so let's see what the Bible has to say here. Let's look at chief. Look at 11 and 15 of Luke. But some of them said, he casteth out devils, talking about Jesus, of Beelzebub, what, the chief of devils, right? See the word chief there? It's used as a high-ranking office of the devils there in that verse. You see it? Look up at Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. And it came to pass, verse 1, Luke 14 and 1, it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. So here was one that would have been a high-ranking chief of what? The Pharisees, right? He'd have been one that if you wanted to get something accomplished through the Pharisees, you'd have gone to him, right? That was a higher-ranking guy there of the Pharisees. Look in Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. See that? So here's a top-ranking guy amongst the publicans. His name is Zacchaeus. Paul said, Christ came to save sinners of whom he was chief. a high-ranking senator, one that was leading the religious rebellion against Jesus the Christ, right? If you'd have wanted to know something about that program that the Jews were under, you could have gone to Paul and he gave you a lesson in the law. Amen? If you wanted to know something about what Peter and the boys were preaching that Paul detested and was causing people to be put to death for, you could have went and sat down with Paul and he could have told you all that. And if that being said, then Paul didn't need a revelation of Jesus Christ for his gospel because he already knew the other business, right? Just to throw that in free of charge. All right, so look at the word chief there. You see that? Now, let's go back to 1 Timothy. And verse 16. Chapter 1, verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy, that in me first. You see the word first. Anybody have an idea what the word first means? It's not second, it's not last, right? It's first. Look it up in the Greek, it'll be first. But I want to show you a little more than that. So we see first, because we can tie this in together, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. Now watch this. For a pattern. See the word pattern? So first does have a meaning that I'll share with you. I thank God that in my life here, I've been able to experience a lot of things because of business and otherwise. I had the privilege of going and watching how an automobile comes into existence. And it's amazing. I was able to go into a place and where I saw the clay model. What you're driving out there, it came from paper, right? From a vision unto a clay model. And they build those models out of clay on several different scales. They start off with a small scale. They'll end up with a scale similar to the size of the vehicle that you have. And you know what that vehicle is called when it comes into its form? It's called a prototype. It is the first form of that vehicle. So look, chief, we'll call it a head. He's the head. First, he's a prototype. Pattern, that's what everything else will be copied after. See, Willie drives a particular car. Leonard drives a truck. Leonard's car wasn't copied off Leonard's truck, Williams or Willie. He got his from the model that made that car. It didn't come after his truck, so they look different, right? But what Paul is saying is this is the pattern. This is going to be the form that God uses for all men hereafter in this dispensation of grace in which we live. That pattern is going to be, you're not going to be saved in essence like Paul was, that Christ is going to return from heaven and apprehend you on your way to McDonald's today. That's not what Paul is describing. What Paul is describing is God's long suffering, that he himself, instead of receiving God's judgment, God set his judgment aside and showed Paul his exceeding and abundant grace, and Paul was saved by that grace, and every man in this dispensation is a pattern of that salvation. Not of anything that Paul could do. Even though he was the head sinner, even though Paul became the prototype, now the pattern is after that, right? So we are all sinners according to the flesh. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the pattern is what God did with Paul and giving him his unadulterated grace. That's how everybody will be saved in this dispensation, by grace through faith in Christ alone and nothing else. Now, do you remember that before Paul, the Bible showed something that shows a time frame. And he uses the word. He said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. He's trying to show us something here. He's trying to show us a shift from law, works, faith, to faith and grace alone. No law. Right? So there was a shift. You can read about that in Romans chapter 3 when you see that. All right? So it's a pattern. And the pattern is one that you make it, and then after that, every copy looks like the pattern. Right? That's what he's describing. If you were going to make gingerbread cookies, whatever pattern you start with, all the other cookies, if I were cooking them, they wouldn't. But if you cook that first one, then the next one, you would use the same form, right? When people use, like Christmas time, they'll use forms to make star cookies, whatever cookies, right? And then they'll use that same pattern to make the other cookies. So you get a whole sheet of cookies and they all look what? The same. Hopefully they taste good. Right? So I just want you to see that before we go further. Now watch what he says. He said it's a pattern, but then he says this, that you believe, the ones who believe on him to what? Everlasting life. So, sinners, Paul said he was chief. He was the head of that rebellion against Christ. Paul said, I was first. I'm the prototype. Paul says, I'm the pattern to all those after me. It's going to be the same way, and it requires what? Our belief. On whom? Christ. Believe on him, right? All right, so we're good so far, right? So now let's look at Romans 16 and 7. We're getting a lot of response from people who are new to this. So, you know, I know what it felt like to me when I was new to it and I read the verse. So, I want to be fair and try to help people out with some of the things that I struggled with myself when I saw these things, and not just sweep them under the rug. Look down at verse 7. For the sake of time, we're not going to read all the way up to this. We're going to look at verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Did y'all see that? But what did he say here? Well, if somebody was in front of you and they were in Christ before you, and now you're in Christ, wouldn't that make them first?
Not necessarily.
I mean, do you see the complication? Can you see a new person coming to this and going, wait a minute, that claim that Paul's the first in the body of Christ, and he just said there's people in there before him, we've got a problem. Now how are we going to clear up the problem? Amen. Amen. And so let me do this in a way that you're going to see it clearly. Because the word that you're going to see that's going to clear it up for you is going to be this word right here. It's going to become all about what? Faith. Now, most people believe that faith is just faith, right? But there's particular faith in the Bible that is spoken of. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. Get Zechariah and go two books to your left, all right? I knew I'd get some looks on that one. What? Habakkuk. And go back to Zechariah. When you get it, just go, you're going to go past Haggai, then you're going to come maybe three books, Zephaniah, then Habakkuk. Good one, huh? We're not going to read anything out of Habakkuk. We just want to prove we use all the Bible. No, we are going to read something out of Habakkuk. So remember this, the principal issue is going to be faith. That's the principal issue. This is how we're going to determine that Paul is either first in the body of Christ, or that has to mean something totally different, right? So 16 and 7 is a head scratcher for somebody who don't understand right division. So Habakkuk chapter 2. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live, how? It's not what it says. Read again. The just shall live by his faith. See that? You got it? Yeah, it can't go anywhere till you get that. You got to see that. He got to live by his faith in Habakkuk, right? So Habakkuk says his faith. He's going to live by his faith. Speaking of man, right? If you understand that, you can understand the book of James. 2 and 4. Habakkuk, 2 and 4. If you understand that verse, you'll understand the book of James. If you understand what Paul's got to say about it, you'll understand the difference. All right? So go back and look at Romans chapter 1. Right after you just found that book, hard to find, go to Romans chapter 1. You know, I had a guy that got angry with, I don't know if he got angry with me, but he was bothered by it. I said, turn to a book like Habakkuk one time in here, and I said, the one with no fingerprints on it. And he got upset and put a note on YouTube. I don't like the attitude telling me what books I do or don't read. I was like, look, brother, it's just an inside joke. We just use it. I mean, it's just the fun to us. I mean, didn't mean to offend anybody, right? I hope you read all the Bible. I read Habakkuk. I get a pen, right? It is what it is. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Watch this. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by... Now there, it didn't use his faith, did it? It said faith, right? So the just is going to live by how in Romans chapter 1? But you see what it said before? Faith to faith? That's important. Stay with me. Go look at Galatians chapter 3. Would I be fleshly if I said, it just feels like God's put the fun back in this? Is the word fun, that's a fleshly word, isn't it? I tell you what I can do. I can use what we taught on last week. God's put the joy back in there. Amen. There we go. We're spiritual. Ain't no fun in the body of Christ. Like there ain't no beach in the body of Christ. You got to have the coast. All right, go to Galatians with me. I heard a guy stand up the other day and said, he was in church. He said, we're going to sing an old song of Johnny Cash's. He said, don't y'all get all spiritual on me now. You know you've heard this song. And it ended up being so-called gospel, but it was funny. I loved the way he did it. Look in 3 and 11. That's what some people get, boy. Look here at chapter 3. But no man, at verse 11, chapter 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live how? By faith, right? So Galatians 3 and 11 says, man's going to live by faith. Okay? All right, so go to Hebrews. You ever just wanted to take the Bible and hug it? Just kiss it all over and hug it? God, it's the Bible, man. I mean, it just gets you that way sometimes. You love hugging your wife, you love hugging your children. Hug God sometimes. Just do them like that, just hug him. It's just, man, I'm going to tell you what. It'll do for you what the phone booth did for Clark Kent. Is that his name, Clark Kent? Yeah. Superman, right? He'd go in that phone booth, it's a natural guy. He'd come out, Superman. Whew, that Bible will do the same for you, I believe. All right, before I get Pentecostal, go to Hebrews and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. What did I say before? We got to do something with that heckler back there in the back row. Chapter 10. No, go to 11. I'm sorry. Go to 11. Chapter 11. When you get there, Hebrews chapter 11, go to verse 13. For the sake of reading all this, people call this the Hall of Faith, if you will. And it talks about all these men of old and how they did certain things by faith and by faith and by faith, right? Abraham, Moses, and so forth and so on. Rahab, all those people. Look here in verse 13. These all died, whereat? In faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And what country are they seeking for? That one that comes down out of it. That one is not made by the hands of man. That holy Jerusalem, that promised kingdom that God had given them, right? So what I wanted you to see there is they did what? They died in faith. Did they die in faith that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day?
No.
Did they die in faith believing that he would? Now, they didn't die in that faith. Look over in Hebrews chapter 11 and 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Who was the God of the Old Testament? Who is God of the New Testament? Watch this. Even Hebrews and even Moses thought the same thing. I'll turn a man off quick when he says that Jesus Christ is not God. Watch what it says here, 26. This is Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. You see that? Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses believed that Christ was God. Verse 25 says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God. Verse 26, esteeming reproach of Christ. See that? So what I want you to see is, by faith. By faith. So we can get the story told. All right, go to John chapter 15. John 15 and the book of John, it's where a lot of people go to get you saved and lost in the same sermon. Let's just be real. They get you saved in John 3 and get you lost in John 15. In other words, you might not even get out of the church building before you get lost again. John chapter 15. When you get there, go to verse 4. And look at verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Do you see the word abide? Okay. Is abide and being sealed in Christ the same thing? They're not. They're not. I'm abiding under this roof right now. I'm going to part here in a little while and go home. Right? I'm not sealed inside this building. Right? Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Are we branches? We're members of his body. Amen. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Well, how can I get that done, Jesus? In the book of John, he'll tell you. Look up at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Notice the word if, that's conditional. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amen? You see that? So if, all right, that's a conditional thing. And it would be by their faith in that what he has spoken was the pure word of God. Therefore, by faith, they would keep his commandments. They would strive. They would work to do what he said do. Amen. Different program we're under back here in John. All right, go to John chapter 17. Y'all think we've left that thing with Paul being first altogether? Like, where did that go? How did we started out over there? Where? Trust me, man, it's like a trip. We're getting there, I promise. Carowinds is just around the corner. Hold on, Randy. John chapter 17. Look at verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self and with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, this is before Christ had gone to the cross and he said, I have finished the work. What work had he finished here? He had proclaimed all that the Father had given him, right? And the Father had given him those such that he called out over there being the little flock unto him, the 12 beginning with the 12, right? And, of course, we know that one of them was the devil himself in Judas. All right? Watch what he says. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. See, he said, I've finished this work. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be what? Fulfilled. And that was Judas, right? And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world have hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. What I want you to see there is that being in Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is about abiding. And to abide would be to keep his commandments, to love him, to keep his commandments, abiding. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So go with me now. He's talking there, when he's talking about all that the Father has given him, you know, he gave him, he went and he chose the 12 unto himself. We know that one of those was the devil himself to betray him, which, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which was Judas. And then we know also that the little flock was added to by the word that Christ gave in his earthly ministry in that 3.5 years. Go over to 1 John. First John, when you get there, go to chapter 3. So read with me here, starting in verse 20. 3 and 20 of 1 John. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments. You see the condition on receiving, right? And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwell in Him, and He in him. And thereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. See all the conditions. In that program, there are conditions. All right? So, Paul being first, and Paul saying there was somebody in Christ before Paul. Right? So, we saw, and I believe, that Moses was in Christ before Paul. He suffered the afflictions of Christ versus taking on the riches of Egypt. Moses died where at? In faith. Abraham believed God, insomuch that God said, offer up your only begotten in Isaac, and he went to do so, and God stopped him. We know the story. Abraham died where? So where would that put him? Amen. Does that come together a little bit? Somebody was in Christ before Paul. But the story this morning and what we're trying to get you to see is, was Paul the first in the body of Christ? Right. Was Paul the first one in Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? Right. So if you understand the revelation of the mystery is different than prophecy, then you can understand that Romans 16 and 7 does not destroy 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, because Paul is in Christ a different way. It gets a little bit stronger than that. Go to the book of Galatians with me. Go to the book of Galatians with me. Now, I already know, before I get home and before Kim gets these videos loaded, but by tomorrow morning, the question's going to be, were those two people that Paul dealt with over there, if they were in Christ before Paul, are they now members of the body of Christ? Okay, we can make that debate and argue. What difference is it going to make? If they died in faith, they'll either be resurrected to be in that kingdom on earth, or if they were considered members of the body of Christ at that point, to be resurrected to go up with Christ in the air. Either way. Right? Can I tell you there was two ministries going on at the same time back there at a point in the book of Acts. And we're not going to get all confused about that. Okay? We know our apostle is Paul, and he is the first in the church, the body of Christ. Not by his own admission, but by the inspired word of God. Alright? So look over here in the book of Galatians with me real quick. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 23. Look at verse 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were where? In Christ. How were they in Christ? According to the prophetic message. What do you think they did? They believed on His name. To be in the church, the body of Christ, what must you believe? Christ is the Son of God who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Right? Now watch what it says. But they had heard only that He which persecuted us in time past key element right there. It's a timeline. That's a time frame. Time passed. Now preaches the faith which he once destroyed. What faith was Paul destroyed? The faith that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was not the Christ in Paul's mind. He was an imposter. And Paul was destroying that, but now Paul's preaching what? The very thing that Jesus is the Christ. And not only is he the Christ for you Gentiles, he also died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now Paul, in his letters, writes unto you something you've never seen in faith before. And people reject it. They even change it in their Bible versions. What is it? Look at Galatians chapter 2 real quick. Watch this. Remember in Habakkuk, he said, the just shall live by what? His faith. See that? Watch here in 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Can you see that? All right. The just shall live by faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. See, God is so wisdomatic, way above man, he can have you sitting in this room right now, saved, in Christ, sealed, raised with him, and still having you live by faith. Even though you may not actually be walking accordingly. How? Because it's not your faith. Amen. So look at 2:20. Y'all heard this enough. But watch closely. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now watch. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and he gave himself for me. What the devil does not want you to know is about the faith of Christ. He wants you struggling out of some faith that you have according to a religion, according to a denomination, trying to do something by your faith to please God. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ, by faith, has pleased the Father? In everything that it would take for your never-dying soul, your eternity, he has already pleased everything that the Father required, and he wants you to live off that faith. Amen. So, there were some people before Paul in Christ by faith. But everybody before Paul that died in faith did not die in the body of Christ. The body of Christ began when God, the Son of God, gave the revelation of the mystery to Paul, and now we know about the body of Christ. We know about the faith of Jesus Christ. We know it's by grace, through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We know that because of the Apostle Paul saying, but now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest. Right? Can you see the thing? So everybody that's ever died in faith died in the Lord. And they're going to be resurrected one or two places. They're either going to be resurrected over in the earth or they're going to go up to heaven when Christ steps out on the cloud to call them out. The body of Christ didn't start in Genesis. The body of Christ didn't start in Isaiah. It did not start in the four Gospels. There's a guy on YouTube right now wanting to argue with me, and I'm not going to give him time because he doesn't even know where he's at in the Bible. Well, all the people over here at the death, burial, resurrection, over here, weren't they in the body of Christ? You won't answer that question. Well, no, the reason I won't answer the question is because you're not going to believe the Bible when you see it. If you'll see this, then you'll understand who was first in the body of Christ. Paul said, in me first, the chief first, the prototype, the pattern, to all who believe on Christ hereafter to everlasting life. Now, there can only be one first. So, yes, there were some people in Christ before Paul, but not according to the mystery. Not according to the revelation of the mystery. That's why you better get that thing down right. Because they'll throw all the verses like that at you to confuse you. I'm no longer confused. We said we were not branches, right? In Ephesians 1, 12 and 13, he said you are sealed. In Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, he said you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now the last verse of the day, look at Ephesians chapter 5. Five and 28. So ought men to love their wives and their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and bone of his bones. Can I tell you this morning that your bones aren't abiding? They're part of you. Right? Your bones are not saying, I think I'll hang around a little longer. Your arm ain't saying, I think I'll hang around a little. It's part of your body. It's what makes you up. Right? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are not branches that can be cut off. We're not part of a vine. We're not part of a tree. We are members of that body. Amen? That's the one that Paul is first in. And then all those after, it's a pattern and the form of what Paul was and what he is to the church, the body of Christ. Right? So either you can work to throw Romans through Philemon out of your Bible because it won't josh with your tradition, with what Grandpa said, or you can embrace right division and say there has to be a difference between abiding in Christ and being sealed in Christ. There has to be a difference between a branch and a member. There has to be a difference between a sheep and a new creation. Amen? So I conclude, according to the Scripture, that there was people in Christ before Paul. But nobody was in the body of Christ before Paul. Amen? Those people got in according to God's word to them by faith. Right? Let us pray and we'll take any questions you might have. Father, we are so grateful for this day, another day of your grace. I'm thankful for the word of God. Pray, Lord, that what we teach and what we put on video will help someone else, that they too might see this truth and the importance of rightly dividing your word. That they may understand that there's more than one program in the Bible. There's more than one redemptive people in the Bible. And there's more than one sphere of your kingdom. It's both heaven and earth. And you gave to Paul to preach and to teach the body of Christ, which will fill up the heavens. We thank you for that. We thank you for the understanding of that. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. And the gospel that will save today, if a person would just simply believe it and trust Christ as their Savior, how that Christ died on a cross, shed his blood for them, was buried according to the Scriptures, but he raised again the third day according to the Scriptures for their justification. If they just simply believe that Christ has done all the work, believe that gospel, trust him and him alone by faith, they can be saved. In Christ's name, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And everyone said, amen.